In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Easter Day usually gets all the celebration and adoration from folks, which is deservedly so. Easter is all about the Lord's resurrection from the dead, defeating sin, death, and devil, and liberating us from the chains of death and the fear of it. All because of one morning of resurrection. So, of course, Easter Day is rightly celebrated with great joy and adoration. But what else is great is that liturgically we celebrate Easter for longer than just a day. We have the Easter season for 7 total Sundays. On Thursday, May 13th, we celebrate the Ascension of the Lord. Ascension's 40 days after Easter, and during those 40 days, the Lord was with Peter, James, John, the other 12, and even a group of 500. And then after 50 days after Easter, we celebrate Pentecost, which was when Jesus sent his promised Holy Spirit to the disciples. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves and where we are liturgically in the church year, but it's important to recognize that Easter is not just one day. Easter is not just a season. Easter is the daily Christian life. Because the wounds of the resurrection come to us by water and blood. Last year, I talked about how labeling Thomas as doubting Thomas was perhaps a bit unfair, because his issue wasn't belief versus unbelief, as is typically attributed to Thomas. Rather, he felt he couldn't be a true disciple unless he experienced the wounds of Jesus for himself. Unless Thomas touched Jesus' wounds, he couldn't be faithful. Not because he had to see in order to believe. He didn't have to touch his wounds to believe that Christ had risen from the dead. It wasn't a case of, I'll believe it when I see it. Like if someone told you that the Arkansas Razorbacks football team was going to win the national championship next year. I'm a fan, so no disrespect, but I'd have to see it to believe it. For whatever reason, Thomas didn't believe the disciples' words. But the other disciples didn't believe the words of the resurrection at first either. They didn't believe the women at the tomb. Only when Christ came to them did they believe. Christ gave them faith by showing his wounds. And through his wounds, they have the peace which Christ won on the cross. So Thomas's issue is that he hadn't yet received the wounds of Christ, like the others. Thomas had to touch Jesus' wounds to be faithful to the resurrected Lord. And that's really the case for all Christians. Because without the peace of the forgiveness of sins and victory over death, given to us through Christ's wounds, faith cannot be given. Apart from Christ's wounds, we can never have faith, peace, or forgiveness. For as the prophet Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. The point of John giving us this text about Thomas isn't to teach us about faith, how we need to believe the word of God even when we don't see the resurrected Christ. Rather, John gives us this gospel to show how Christ comes to Christians to establish faith. It's not about our faith, but about how Christ comes to establish faith. John wrote his gospel with this purpose, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. But the story of Thomas leads into this statement by John to show that belief and faith in Christ cannot come to us apart from the resurrected, wounded Christ. Jesus brings the marks of crucifixion to his disciples, which establishes faith. So John wrote about Thomas, not to give an example of bad faith or that we need to have a better faith than Thomas. Rather, it shows us how Christ comes to us to establish faith. He comes to us bearing the wounds of the crucifixion, for by his wounds we are healed. Well, then we have to ask, well, I don't have access to the flesh and blood wounds of Jesus. Christ is long ago ascended into heaven, and so I don't have the same privilege that Thomas and the other disciples had. I can't see Christ's physical body and physical wounds. However, with the eyes of faith, we do see Christ in his wounds coming to us. For blessed are those who do not see Christ, yet have believed. That is, blessed are those who see the risen and wounded Savior with the eyes of faith. So if Jesus doesn't show his wounds to me in his flesh and blood, how are my eyes of faith to see him? To find the answer, we look to St. John's epistle reading this morning. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. The Holy Spirit, the water and the blood testify to the risen Lord. So how does the resurrected Savior, bearing the marks of the crucifixion, come to sinners like you and me? Through water, blood, and Spirit. The Spirit who testified to and pointed to Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan River is the same Spirit who came to you in your baptismal waters and united you to Christ in his death and resurrection. The same Spirit of which Jesus promised to his disciples at the Last Supper in the Maundy-Thursday upper room is the same Spirit which accompanies the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, pointing to and giving you the wounded hands of Christ and the sacrificial blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. So where do the wounds of Christ come to sinners? In baptism. In the Lord's Supper. The water split from Jesus' pierced side at the cross testifies to the life Christ gives in baptism. The blood shed from his pierced side testifies to the sacrificial offering Christ gave to sinners, which is given in the Lord's Supper. Here the resurrected Savior comes to us, not in the way that the Lord appeared to Thomas in 12, but he comes to us through simple means, water, bread, and wine. Here, Christ comes to give us the same benefits of the resurrection as he did to the disciples in the upper room. He comes to give peace, faithfulness, life, and belief. To express this in a different way, here are some stanzas from Stephen Starkey's hymn, Water, Blood, and Spirit Crying, from our hymnal. Stanza 1. Water, blood, and spirit crying, by their witness testifying, to the one whose death defying, life has come with life for all. Stanza 2 is about baptism. In a watery grave are buried all our sins that Jesus carried. Christ, the ark of life, has ferried us across death's raging flood. Stanza 3 is about the Lord's Supper. Dark the way, yet Christ precedes us. Past the scowl of death he leads us, spreads a table where he feeds us with his body and his blood. Stanza 5, Spirit, water, blood entreating, working faith and its completing, in the one whose death defeating life has come with life for all. This is all to say that the resurrected wounded Savior comes to us through means Christ has instituted for the church to distribute. Because through these simple means, Christ continues his work of making disciples, establishing faith in the hearts of men by bringing the benefits of the cross and grave. It doesn't bear the excitement and pomp and circumstance of having a risen Jesus appear before your eyes. It may seem dull and boring, time after time, being told to remember your baptism, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. But remember, that's just Satan working on your sinful flesh to downplay the extraordinary gifts of God. Because Scripture itself bears witness to the water, blood, and spirit who testifies to Christ. For whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. 1 John 5:12. Thomas typically gets a bad rap, being labeled Doubting Thomas. But Thomas couldn't have faith unless the resurrected Christ came to him. The source of faith and what established faith for Thomas wasn't his eyes, but it was the lively wounds of Jesus. Apart from the wounds of Jesus, Thomas couldn't have faith. Only in Christ coming to him does he have faith. The same goes for us, though it's a bit different. The wounded yet risen Christ is brought to us by the Holy Spirit in water and blood. Faith, apart from these things, puts emphasis upon ourselves, just as we want to put the emphasis on Thomas in the gospel. We attribute disbelief to Thomas because he was some sort of materialist who needed to see to believe. Rather, faith's emphasis should be on the object of our faith, which is the wounds of Christ, which make us clean. To have life is to probe the wounds of Christ and believe. Apart from Christ's wounds, we have no life. The water, blood, and spirit show us where to find his wounds, so that we may have life in his name and believe. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.